how do you work out how dry it is out there? How dry is the forest? So the first thing is, how can we model it? And then the second thing is, how dry is dry?
And what is dry?
I guess just to take it back a step, in order to get some of these big bushfires that we've seen in the Blue Mountains in 2013 and also Black Saturday in Victoria in 2009, there's a few different factors that you need, or switches that have to be turned on. So the first thing is, you need a fuel load, so you need something to burn, so that's your forest. Then you need that forest to be dry enough to burn so that the fire will actually get going. And then you need fire weather, so, you know, there's hot, dry, windy days in summer. And then finally you need an ignition source, so that's generally dry lightning or arson. And so it's that second sort of switch that we were looking at, which is the fuel dryness. So how dry is the forest? And that's a really important factor, because if it's not dry, then you're less likely to get some of those devastating fires.
And when you're talking about dryness in the forest, you mean like how wet things aren't, like how dry the leaves are, how dry the trees are?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a couple of different types of fuel. So we talk about dead fuel. So that's your dead leaf litter that you see on the ground, your fallen logs, things like that. And then there's your live fuel, which is just the plants themselves. So the trees, the shrubs, the grasses. And so we can model dead and live fuel using different approaches. So for dead fuel, that's where we looked at using Bureau of Meteorology data. And for live fuel, so looking at how wet or dry the canopy is, that's where we used MODIS satellite data.
Going from, say, comparing one year to another, why might one year the leaves be drier than another? Is that dependent on how much rainfall there was in the winter?
Yeah, so rainfall is the really big driver. And so we do get forecasts by the Bureau of Meteorology on how wet it's been, and they can also forecast how much rain we're likely to have into the future, which is a really good general indicator of whether or not we're likely to have a bad fire season. But it doesn't tell you where exactly you're going to get these patches of dry forest. And so that's why the satellite modelling is so great, because we can actually get an image of the forest and we can pinpoint areas which are dry or not. And that really gives us more information.
You mentioned the bushfires in Blue Mountains back in 2013, which were quite devastating. Is that because we had a dry winter?
So I guess just talk about some of the analysis we did recently. We looked at conditions leading up to the 2013 fires, and then we've looked at conditions that we have currently, and we're actually tracking drier conditions now than we had prior to the 2013 fires.
And what does that potentially indicate?
Well, it indicates that if we don't get rain before the start of the fire season, that there's a good chance that there's a high fire danger out there.
High fire danger, does that just mean unprecedented fires? Like it could be quite intense, if not parallel, something like 2013?
Yeah, it is difficult to say, because we need that combination of those other factors I talked about previously. So you need the weather to line up, and then the ignition, and those things are hard to predict this far out.
You kind of look at plant physiology too.
Yeah.
Say you're looking at a pile of leaf litter, for example, and you're trying to determine how dry that is in comparison to leaf litter that might be more moist or something like that. What is the actual practice doing that? Do you kind of take a sample, get it into the lab? What do you do?
The traditional method is you get a sample, put it into a container, you weigh it, then you dry it for 48 hours in the oven, then you weigh it again. And so this is really, it's really labour intensive. And also there's a delay between the measurement and when you actually get the answer. And so it's not very good for operational purposes. So you can't really send people out all over the state to do these measurements. It's very resource intensive. So what we wanted to do was come up with a model to see if we could predict what the moisture content was based on things that are a little bit easier to get. So that's where we use Bureau of Meteorology data. So we looked at using vapor pressure deficit, which is calculated from temperature and humidity.
And what does that mean?
So it's really just the drying power of the air. And so temperature and humidity are collected at really high spatial and temporal resolution in southeastern Australia. So we can take that data and then we can use it to model the moisture content of some of these dead fuels. And so then you can get really high temporal resolution estimates of what the moisture content is.
This is a point that I've spoken about in the show before, is that bushfires inherently are part of an ecosystem. I guess they can be accentuated and turn into these big disasters, but they also naturally occur. How does that kind of influence the work that you do, you know, looking at the dryness of particular properties of an ecosystem, but then also recognizing that things can get out of hand as well?
Yeah, so you're right. These forests are definitely prone to burn, and they actually need fire, so eucalypts won't regenerate in the absence of fire. So they're very much a part of these ecosystems that we live with. And so it's really, it's not a question of if, but when we're going to get a fire. And so I guess from our perspective, trying to model when it's more likely that you'll have the conditions that lead to a fire, then that's information that people can then use, or land managers can use, to make decisions about how to prepare for the fire season.